thinking. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like who will help you get your Z's, true.
Welcome back. We are back with another episode of The Scenario. People's really digging the last episode, man. They wanted us to name Red Skull, though. They said it's Ahmad Rashad, Red Skull.
Why? Why would he be the Red Skull?
Did you see the picture with his two groomsmen?
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson and Bill Cosby.
Oh, man. I listened to that show, and I was, like, hoping that we were still going to be allowed to come on the air after some of the people, after some of the people we aired out.
Yo, we need to do a whole Infinity Bad People, because people sent a whole bunch of the people.
We need to do, like, the MCU and lead it all into the Infinity fuckery gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly.
Go all the way back to Iron Man.
Oh, man, people was, man, one dude, shout out to, Tico Smith, I'm about to show you when we get a second. But he sent us, he had OJ with the white woman inside the Infinity Stone.
Like, oh, that needs to be up on the show page.
I was like, man, dude, I wish I would have known this before I made that. I would have changed the whole title of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to put that up on the show page.
Yeah, I was like, man, I might hold that one till we do another Infinity fuckery gauntlet. Because some people were saying that Omarosa shouldn't be in there. You know, that, you know, we should, you know, maybe think about that. Rethink the Omarosa one. And put old girl, that's what Kanye West, Candace, whatever. The chick that he's been taking around, his little conservative guru. You ain't seen her?
No.
He's got, like, a little conservative guru that walks with, like, that.
Oh,
like,
God.
She's the one that he's like, man, I really respect this girl named Candace such and such. Like, did you see the whole video with Kanye at the TMZ, right?
Yeah.
The girl I was trying to talk in the background saying, like, that wasn't a TMZ person. That's the girl Candace.
Oh, that's like his lackey.
Yeah. No. She's like his conservative guru. Like, how remember in CB4 he had Baba Tunde or whatever?
Huh.
That was like his little spiritual advisor. This is his conservative advisor.
Oh,
like,
no.
That teaches him the way of the conservatism.
Oh, man.
Keep in mind, she's only like 25, too. So you're a 42-year-old man having a 25-year-old school you on politics.
She apparently ain't doing too good, because Kanye be saying some stuff and even they be sitting there looking like, what? When do we agree to that?
Hey, man, this might be career suicide for him, man.
You think it's done? You think he at the end of the rope?
Man, we'll see how good of a musician he is. Like, I mean, every track's gonna need to be fired. I'm talking, there can be no filler on this.
He gonna need the flute from Jesus to turn around this.
If he's smart, I wouldn't even drop my album this year. I just push out the Pusha T album, the Kid Cudi album, and the Nas album, and then just wait till next year to after everybody's like, yo, this production was crazy on these albums.
Yeah.
And just push my shit back.
Yeah.
And go back undercover again.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I've used up every... I don't think that I could think down to the point to try to make sense of what Kanye is at this... I'm starting literally to have to go to bed earlier at night trying to make sense of what I'm looking at here. Like, I'm just like, all right, great. This is like a brain freeze. It's like, how does brother... Like, Kanye's like drinking a big gulp in 5 minutes and you just sit there and wait on the pain to come back.
With all that sugar and shit just fucking with you.
Yeah.
So, man, let's go and jump into this. We got the NBA Draft Lottery has
happened. NBA Draft Lottery happened tonight, and it was the absolute most ridiculous telecast I've ever seen in my life.
They made it an hour and a half.
It was an hour and a half. First of all, they had a pregame show for it, where they just showing clips of the Eastern Conference Finals game that's going on. Like, that's the undercard for this draft lotto.
Because remember before we would just get it during halftime of whatever Eastern or Western Conference game we were watching.
Yeah, it's just picking some balls out of a ping pong.
No, they already pre-done. It's just the dude opening up the envelopes and putting them in the goddamn slots.
Well,
that's all he would do.
Well, you know, back in the day though, they used to have the little machine out there to at least have some. Little
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they stopped that because Cass was getting. They said Cass was getting a little bit too much. Heart pounded palpitations and shit. They're watching their fate for their job sitting there.
Yeah, you got some old cats sitting in there. Like,
it's a GM sitting there like watching them balls. Like, I may not even make it through next year.
I might not even be making this pick. But
that's it. Right,
that's why they be sending players up there half the time.
Have you noticed they used to have GMs before? Now they send random people, like people's kids,
owners, and people. Now they got people.
Disney,
kids.
Orlando sending Mickey Mouse and shit.
Yeah, mascots up there. And all of that.
The GMs was like, yo, man, Because those cats sitting up there with them stone faces, like, man, I ain't even making this pick, man. They already told me I can't come back after July.
Right. I mean, Josh Jackson got picked last year. He up there picking for the Suns. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, bet. I mean, I guess it's a way to market your guys now.
I think it's more what you said. Everybody GM may be up for getting fired. And they ain't had the year-end evaluation yet. Like, and that don't happen until the beginning of June.
Yeah, they like... They're like, yeah, okay, bet. So this is not going to be my pick to make. So I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Like, just send the cast that's going to be here. Send the rookie. They got all that money put aside for him. Send him. He ain't got nothing to do. We need to check in with him anyway. Make sure he ain't got locked up to something. So send him out here to do it. But no.
You know he's from Canton, Ohio, right?
Right, like, right. So like, real quick, what we want to do is go through the draft lottery results. Starting at 1, going through 14. And just talk about the disaster potential for these picks. Because, like, everybody, you know, hope spring eternal right now. But we just want to go through and say, you know, who's got the opportunity to really mess this up? Mm-hmm. Like, who has the opportunity to be here next year? This is like when the grades come out and you'd be like, somebody going to flunk. Somebody taking this class again in the summer.
Because you see everybody's face, though, looking when they get they're like, niggas turn it over.
Yeah. Yeah, like them teams will get real happy and then them teams will be sitting there like, oh, no, this is way too early. We can't be getting called yet. So, last year, let's go in reverse. Let's go in reverse. So we can go from the order that they show it on TV. So number 14, the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets are solid.
That's fine. I mean, they were almost made the playoffs this year. So I mean,
right, right. Like, they need that, like, that college, that polished college kid that's probably going to be there at 14.
Three or four year player for college.
You get that chance. So then next at number 13.
Actually, the one they should take is homeboy from Texas Tech, Zaire Harris?
Raw.
That dude, he's a freshman though, but he was raw. He's the one that was poking on cats from Texas Tech.
Oh, Texas Tech was one of my favorite teams to watch in the tournament, just because I was like, man, these cats is out here.
I mean, he had all thugs. I was like, I ain't know Texas Tech get these many thugs to go.
Yeah,
look.
Like, all these cats trying to be engineers.
And hold up, I don't want to go to Lubbock. Nah, you know, that's like the closest major city is like 3 or 4 hours.
Like,
right?
I don't know. I don't know about this one. Tech. I don't know. Let's think about this for a
second. Last great Tech player was, what was homeboy that Bobby Knight had? That he was a first round pick.
Tony Battee?
No, this is after Tony. Way after Tony Battee.
You said Texas Tech?
No, this dude was way after Tony. He was a first round pick.
I don't know.
They went to the second round that year. That was like the best.
So at number 13 and number 12, we got the LA Clippers. And the number 12 pick came from the Detroit Pistons as part of that Blake Griffin trade.
I mean, really, the Clippers are just sitting there basically like, we're going to suck again next year.
Hey, trade. Get rid of these picks. Later on, I got a team that we already talked about. They got to trade this pick. They got to trade this pick. Clippers could take two cats. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. You got to trade this pick. You got to trade at least. Both of them got to go. Pack them together. Mm-hmm. Number 11, the Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, they got Monk. They got a one-legged Dwight Howard.
They got Kemba.
But that's like a Wayne Kemba, though.
What you mean?
Kemba's getting old. I'm just getting older. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. But
I'm just saying. I mean.
You what? You 26 now?
No, he's older than 26. He got to be damn near 30.
Isn't 26 damn near 30?
No, I'm talking about like 29.
You think so?
Dude, that was 2000.
He's 28.
That's what I'm saying. He's damn near 30. That's what I'm saying.
He's 28.
Yeah, I look like 28, 29. He in there. He's damn near 30.
I don't know. I be feeling like Cat's been in the league for like 10 years and they like 26.
You got to remember, Kemba played 3 or 4 years at UConn too. So he got real good years in the. He got a lot of years on them.
Hey, I like where the Hornets are at though at 11, because they could get a cat like Kevin Knox or something out of like Kentucky.
Who's with a lot of athleticism in
there. Yeah, they need that. They need that because I feel like they still licking their wounds from Gerald, Gerald Wallace, from Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who is the same person as Gerald Wallace.
But it's a light-skinned version.
But they're both the same person, and they both played there. So it's
true. One was light-skinned. You just trade out complexions.
So,
where is he at now?
Still there.
Oh, he's still there?
Okay. Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. I think he's a life pact.
Well, no, he got major money, though, too, because he was a rookie of the year. He got some dough.
Who?
Wasn't he the rookie of the year?
No.
At one point?
No. Hell no.
No, who was that from Philly that was rookie of the year that everybody was
Michael
like?
Carter Williams.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you think about light skin. Yeah, I was about to say, wasn't that man light skin?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Yeah, okay. I'm getting them confused.
Speaking of that, the Philadelphia 76ers are in at number 10. That's a nice spot for a team that good, though. They got to really, you know who they need to take? They need to take Michael Bridges out of Villanova. They just need another polished
I don't think he's going to fall that far.
I don't know, dog. We talked about it, about how it could work out.
No, we talked about somebody needs a polished player earlier, I think, in the draft that would probably get him. We said that just need a polished player like him, like a 3 or 4 year, because he's a 4 year player.
He's three.
Well, he's a redshirt for 3 years.
No, actually, Michael Bridges. Michael Bridges is a junior.
He's a redshirt junior, though. He's been there 4 years.
How do you redshirt basketball in 2018?
Just get hurt, maybe something, get a medical redshirt or something.
But have been, because I know you ain't sitting there waiting to qualify.
No, medical redshirt, like you, man, blew out a knee and you played 1 or 2 games your freshman or something.
For right now, there is another team I'm looking at right now that can maybe use him earlier. I'm saying that the Sixers need to take Michael Bridges at number 10. Number 9 is New York Knicks. So this is where somebody from like Serbia, Montenegro, or like somebody
Singapore.
We got a hot guard coming out of the Philippines. Like, the Philippines, they ain't got a basketball team. Was they in the Olympics?
It would be, end up being Manny Pacquiao. Because did he play in the Philippine Basketball League or something?
I don't know. That's news to me.
I believe he did.
He does everything over there.
I believe he did play in the Filipino Basketball League.
So, the Knicks, all I'm going to say about the Knicks at number 9, they're going to take the wrong person. So, moving on to number 8, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They needed this pick to be earlier. They needed this pick to be much earlier for trade bait purposes.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao is the 11th overall first round pick of the 2014 Filipino Basketball Association. He's a first round pick too.
There's 11 teams in the Filipino Basketball Association.
There's more, obviously.
Hey, I might need to head over there. I bet you they're looking for people in like ZipRecruiter. like Monster.
Hold on, how many did he average? I don't know how much he averaged a game.
Forget that, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers are on the clock. So he's probably like Master P. Master P played them preseason games, getting his stuff kicked into the crowd.
Yeah.
So
and then he acted like he was a full NBA player.
So here's the thing. I think the Cavs are in a place right now where they could maybe look up on like a guard or somebody that slides a little bit right there, like a Colin Sexton or a Trae Young. Somebody like that, you know, maybe they could get lucky and get somebody like Michael Porter if they slide. But I got a theory, Michael Porter's going to be in a much better place come draft day than people thought he was when the season ended.
Do you think somebody will jump up and try to grab Jonte at the end of
I think Jonte going to go to a team that just got done playing. Like, Jonte can end up in Toronto or somewhere like that, or end up in a team that like just got out. Because I think the talent is there. Like, he would make sense in Denver. You know what I'm saying? And you got the Mizzou connection on in Denver.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's that. So, you know, they've been watching him. But I think that he's going to...
He needs to sit too, though, I think. Like, really,
he's 7.
Like,
he's going to be 18. That's so, I mean, he's like, so young. You literally can chill with him. So a team that's got time to let him chill could do that.
Can you stash a player, an American player like that, and let them play in the EuroLeague? Can you stash them how they do European
players? No, they're not stashed over there. They're just playing out the contracts they're on already.
Okay.
So they're just playing for the team.
So like when Ricky Rubio was stashed
over, he was still playing for his team that he was already playing for.
So he was getting 2 checks in theory?
No, because he hadn't. I mean, he was just under control.
I said, but can they do that with John?
No.
Okay.
No, you got to be playing for a pro team somewhere else. And
already be playing for a pro
team. Yeah, like he's not going to go sign with a team in the pros and not take his NBA money
that
he's coming to. He might as well stay in college for that. I mean, hell, Mizzou already paid $1 million to his daddy for him and Michael to go there. He ain't hurting for the buck.
No, right.
So, number 7, the Chicago Bulls. Why does this keep happening to us? Why does this keep happening?
I told us to start losing last year. Remember, I was like, why are y'all winning?
But here's the thing. They tanked for a good 2 months. But they won too much early on.
Yes. Y'all up here trying to win. We should have been tanking from the beginning.
But then Chris Dunn got good. And I think Markkanen ended up being better than anybody thought he was going to be. Then Zach LaVine came back.
I thought he was going to be trash.
Yeah, you know what? We racially profiled him.
Oh, we definitely did.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just about being white. It was about being
Arizona.
It was about being, well, not even that. It was about being from Finland for me.
Well, I was saying a white player from Arizona.
Well, I just said he from Finland. And it sounded like he not going
to
do nothing.
Because when is the last great white player to play for University of Arizona? Luke Walton. Answer the question.
Great?
I mean, not even great. I mean, serviceable.
Great?
Serviceable.
Luke Walton averaged at 13 in college.
I think Markkanen probably averaged around that too. Shit.
Markkanen was like 18. He's Pac-10 player of the year. Pac-12 player of the year.
He was that year?
Yeah, he balled. He balled in college. Like, I just didn't think it was
going to carry. Who else was in the Pac-12 that year? He couldn't have been the Pac-12. He was?
Yeah. Lauren Markkanen balled.
Damn.
They didn't have Pac-12 Player of the Year 2 years in a row.
Damn. Well, okay, I went in. That's me not watching West Coast games.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch that. I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was. Let me see. DeAndre Ayton got it. DeAndre Ayton definitely got it this year because he looked like David Robinson in like 93 playing college ball. And David Robinson been in the league since 87, but he looked like he went back to college for a year and just did it to him right there. No, Dylan Brooks from Oregon won it that
month. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah, I remember that because I remember not looking at that.
Because Oregon made
the final four. Well, Markkanen was like, yeah, I know he was first team all conference and all that stuff, but I remember he balled. He balled out for them, though. Like, the numbers were strong. So the Bulls are going to take, the Bulls are the team I was talking about that I felt could take Michael Bridges. They was a team that's, that could use that.
That's what I'm saying. Veteran.
Yeah. Could use that. But they also can end up taking an off guard or something
Miles
like that.
Bridges or something.
But here's the thing. Let's get back to the point of what we're doing right here. The ruination point. So the Clippers, if they make the trade, they got a chance not to ruin it. The Hornets, I think the Hornets are going to be the same team every year, no matter who they select.
their ceiling as an organization is a 5 seed.
Yeah,
that's ceiling for their
organization. That's as high as they're allowed to go. And I think the Raptors shouldn't be allowed to go any higher than a four. Yeah,
yep,
I think
I
that's
agree.
Where they should cap
out. They were real comfortable in that 4 spot. You knew they was going to be straight, you know, in that 4 spot.
Yeah,
you know.
Like that's just...
They win one round and keep it moving.
The Sixers are doing final touches right now. They just getting people. They getting somebody. They gonna get the number 10 pick where they could get somebody that's proven what they could do to go with a max player with the two gangsters they got on that team right now. Like the Sixers are in a great position. The Knicks are gonna pick the wrong person again. Just in case,
they're gonna pick Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, the Knicks are gonna take the wrong person. The Cavs got a chance to do the right thing with this pick if they trade it for a player.
And it depends if LeBron's thing, too.
Yeah, well, if they have the chance to do the right thing, if they get this for a player who is going to be a pick that's going to be traded to get somebody to come in to play with LeBron. That's the only way to fit this.
Now, this is my question I want to ask you when we were before. Does San Antonio take this pick and maybe next year's pick for Kawhi?
They can't take Kawhi.
Why not?
Money won't let them take Kawhi. They'd have to take too many other bad contracts from the Cavs.
Throw Tristan Thompson in.
They'd have to trade more though. The Cavs literally have no money. Like they have
even
none.
If they get that bad Tristan Thompson contract out,
they'd have to take J.R. Smith too. Like they'd have to take
take him too.
But the Spurs can't take that though because they still
they're too high on
their
Cavs
like
side
the Cavs
too.
Can't trade all these terrible players to like one team and then get a player back. Like, there's no team that has a gangster on their team that can afford to take them terrible.
Unless they get a third team. They'd have to get a third team.
Yeah, they'd have to get a third team that's willing to take it's almost like you're running a bad team orgy at this point just to get another good player in there.
Atlanta.
Like, it can't... Who they going to trade that's going to make them better?
No. If Atlanta got smart, did the trade we're going to talk about, then they could be in between that. They can get that Cleveland pick. San Antonio will get J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson.
It could happen.
I'm saying it frees everybody's money up.
They need to find a way to get DeAndre Jordan out of there. That's who the Cavs need to find a way to get. They need somebody around the rim that can play some. They need somebody on their team that can play defense. Because LeBron's only doing Olays at this point. He's just letting people run past him and trying to get backside blocks. You know, so I mean, that's all there is to it.
So, but then what trade situation do they have?
Let's do that when we get closer to the offseason. We finish this draft and then go through that. The Magic have a chance to ruin this completely. Because the Magic are usually only going to take one thing, a point guard or a 6'11 power forward. That's it.
Or they took Oladipo, though. I mean, that was the best pick they probably
had. Well, yeah, I mean, that was the exception. I mean, they took a bunch. They took Hezonja and all them cats that are just European dudes. Evan Fournier,
Aaron Gordon.
Shoot the ball.
Was Aaron Gordon considered white?
But Aaron Gordon's a 6'11 power forward.
He went to Arizona, though.
And they took.
Is he considered white?
No, he's
not. I know, it's dumb to speak.
But they took Isaac last year, a 6'11 power forward. So I think that they only deal in absolutes. They like the Sith. They only dealing with one thing.
With two. They only do dealing two.
That's only they only want point guards and power forwards. That's it. So that's a good place for Trae Young to go, I guess. At six. I mean, he'd get all the
That'd
shots.
Be wor- yeah, you know what?
That'd he be can- the absolute worst place for him to possibly go on Earth.
But it'd be the best place for his ego.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
because he'd shoot all the...
Oh, players. No, the best place for his ego is still coming up.
Oh, okay.
That's still coming up. Number 5, the Dallas Mavericks. Now,
is he going, you think?
No.
Mark Cuban ahead.
No, I'll get to. Okay. I'll point them out when they show up. Dallas Mavericks. As far as a chance to ruin this pick, I don't know. The Mavericks are in a weird place. Like, they just kind of...
They're trying to rebuild, basically.
Yeah, they're trying to rebuild, but they got the Harrison Barnes contract and the legacy of Dirk Nowitzki standing
Dirk
in the way.
Dirk Nowitzki doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, like, Dirk is like, hey, man, I still just want to play forever. Like, he's each
And they owe him money, too, so they got to let him play because he... he took less money them over on the past years, but they can ball out.
Right, exactly.
So they really can't tell him not to come to the office at this point.
So like, you got to be like, hey, dog, I did this for y'all.
Yeah, so I'm coming back to the office, and I'm staying on this $9-10 million contract.
Too. I can see them taking. It depends on what happens in front of them. Like that, Michael Porter, Jaren Jackson, and Wendell Carter. All trifecta. Kind of work right there. Yeah, like all them. I think Michael Porter could be perfect. There's two teams right now that I think are perfect for Michael Porter. The Mavericks, who have a chance to, I think they got a chance to make a difference with this pick. And also the Memphis Grizzlies, who are picking right in front of them, who could really use Michael Porter as a scoring option because that team just fell off the side of the earth this year. Like, they were one step away from being moved to Seattle or something, like in the middle of the season.
Like, fuck it.
Like, hey, man, no, we give this up. We want to bring them old Sonics jerseys back.
We do. I think we can get some money off of them.
Right. So, like, I don't know. Like, he could work. He could work there. I mean, Michael Conley be back healthy. You got Gasol right there. You got somebody stretch the floor with Porter. It'd be a good. I think it'd be a good spot for him.
Yeah.
Now, here's the Trae Young. Luxury pick.
Get money.
For both situations that this could work out in. This is the Atlanta Hawks are picking third.
Oh.
Now, Trae Young.
With that pretty hair in Atlanta.
Oh, man. He'll be a sensation. He'll be a sensation. He'll have Luster Silk promotions.
And there was the Bronum Fest that's down there with the Bronner Fest for the hair care products. Mm-hmm. Like, hair care products. I'm right there, baby.
Yeah, he'll be the man.
Dudley's, I'm right here, baby.
With that young Duke Ellington in the process. But he also, the trade that we suggested, the Hawks trading that down pick to the Clippers. He works out there too. Him and Lou Williams and what's my man, Patrick Beverly. You can live with the three of them out there calling shots.
And he can shoot, and he probably can get a green light from Doc.
Throw lobs to DeAndre and just shoot the ball a lot of times. As long as Austin.
Because he's good with lobs, though. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, hell yeah. As long as Austin Rivers get his mandatory 10 shots a game because daddy said so.
Because daddy said so.
Everything's good.
Yo, like to me, man, Austin Rivers got to be a bitch ass dude.
I think it's guaranteed he is.
You said, you don't think there's no thinking, there's no.
Yeah, he's one of the cats that set us light-skinned brothers back.
Because we were coming back.
We're in a good place. I'm in a good place. I'm doing our work on our behalf. And then you look at Austin Rivers. And then you look at Drake. And you'd be like, dog, like, y'all got so much potential to uplift us. But, like, we need Michael Porter to ball. Like, we need Michael Porter to... Because Jason Tatum is holding it down.
No, Steph Curry, too?
Ben Simmons, Klay Thompson. Like, this is a renaissance for light-skinned brothers in the NBA right now. But, like, we can't have Austin Rivers. Like, the only way what Austin Rivers is doing is allowed is because all the Mother Brothers is holding all that heavy weight. And otherwise, this would be... not in the 90s, this would not be allowed. Not at all. Yeah. Only Reggie Miller was a light-skinned brother. You count Charles Barkley as a light-skinned brother?
No.
No, he's in the middle.
He's a brown skin.
Yeah. So, the Hawks... Before we move on to the Hawks, nobody got screwed worse today than the Hawks. Because they needed to be in the top two.
Two.
Because none of the cats that they draft at this point are really going to make a difference. They're going to be right back here next year looking for Zion Williamson or somebody like that.
Yep.
Let's go to number two. This is the first time I've felt like this since like 1999. I'm excited to say this.
For the Sacramento
Kings. The Sacramento Kings might matter again soon. They might matter again.
Are they going to get the Darko of this draft? So that's my question.
See, I think this dude is nice.
We said the same thing about Darko, too.
No, see, I didn't say Darko was nice. No, I wasn't watching him. But since the Darko draft, it's a lot easier to watch European players play day in and day out.
Because all we had on Darko was just that that workout tape that they had, right?
Well, no, they had the tape of him playing, though. But here's the difference, though. Darko was 17 over there, still playing like 20 minutes a night, playing part-time minutes and looking at all potential. Doka's playing like 30 and balling, like being like the best player. Like,
he got drafted like 13 or 14, I was reading.
Like, he's like the Bryce Harper over there, like playing years above his age grade to like be as good as he is. He can handle, he's 6'8", he can shoot. He could be a bum. Any of these cats could be bums. But, you know, I think that he got a chance to go out there. You know, Vlade Divac calling the shots? You get him a European sensation to go
with
him?
And that's the same kind of, that's his country.
Yeah, hell yeah. And Sacramento's the perfect place to go to not have the pressure on you to be dope right up front.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of ducked away.
You got a chance to, like, take cats off guard in Sacramento. Like, that's the perfect place for Dokic to go. But meanwhile, the Suns... get to keep the
keep in mind, he's just gonna move like an hour and a half down the
road. He's gonna move an hour and a half down the road and be right there. Like, he's gonna be the king of the desert. DeAndre Ayton's gonna be the king of the desert.
DeAndre Ayton ain't gotta even move his chicks. He actually, it's all financially great for him.
He's probably already got the women that was moving down from Phoenix to holler at him on campus.
That's what I'm saying.
He's gonna inherit new ones.
And he's gonna go to his rival's campus and pillage their women at Arizona State.
He's probably already started that. But, I mean,
but that is right, but he's just solidifying it.
I mean, and that we just gotta hope he doesn't inherit the Greg Oden Old Face Nigga Award because he looks like he's got three kids and a mortgage already, and he probably don't. I'm not saying that he do. I ain't trying to. I'm
and
just saying
he's gonna have them old man knees, them old man ankles.
Yeah, he just can't show up day one with them Patrick Ewing knee braces on, looking like he gonna wrestle Hacksaw Jim Duggan. But no, that's a dope. Like Phoenix can't lose. Dokic with Devin Booker is a great situation.
Devin Booker and Josh Jackson.
Yeah, but of course. But I'm just thinking about that backcourt. Just like them two cats out there that can handle the ball. It wouldn't surprise me completely if they took him. Like, it wouldn't blow me away if they took
you
him.
Think that
But Aiden makes the most sense.
Dude, Dokic, you already Aiden, get the Dokic, goal.
Dokic's not going to work out either. He already said, I'm not working out.
Oh, he did?
Because he's still in the playoffs. He said, I'm playing over here watching my playoff tape. I'm playing in games still. You know what I'm saying?
And Aiden said he wasn't working out either, I don't think.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
For what? Like,
for what?
He's not. He ain't getting past. He ain't getting past Sacramento. Like, when you're guaranteed one or two, why work out?
Yeah.
Why work out? Like, for what? What am I showing you? Yeah, you done got to watch me play at least 25, 28 games already. You know what's up. Cats got to work out of the Cats fighting for that third spot.
Yeah.
And even then, Cats in the league now kind of picking where they want to work out at now.
Yeah, like, okay. And letting you know, like, don't fuck with me. I ain't even come to y'all tryout.
Hey. Hey. Atlanta, I feel like Atlanta could get Bagley and he really would be a baller for them, like a cat, athletic cat around the rim that Dennis Schroeder and them cats can run with. Kent Bazemore's still there, ain't he? He'll be there forever. So, I mean, you know, he can play down
the
there.
The team
too.
That lost that's not even in this draft is the Lakers, though.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't get anybody they expect. They've been praying for the last 3 or 4 years, waiting for all these contracts that they, you know, because the Lakers fans have turned into Knicks fans.
In NBADraft.net.
Everybody's coming there.
I've been going to NBADraft.net since 1999, and they got that good content. They got at the Lakers picking at 25, taking Jonte Porter.
So whose pick they got at 25? Cause they traded their pick. Did that go to Cleveland?
I don't know.
No.
I have to look into
They traded their pick.
Is
oh,
that Boston's pick? No, Boston picks later than that. I don't know. I have to look into it.
Theirs was protect. It was like protected. Or
this
something.
Is a predictive. This is a predictive one too. So I don't know if this necessarily matches with the team.
Cause I thought LA didn't have a first round pick at all.
They got a second round pick.
They got a second round. I didn't think they had a first round at all.
They kind of don't need one, honestly. I mean, what are the Lakers gonna do with another rookie? I mean, what are they gonna do?
Yeah.
I mean, they got enough. They got enough cats right there. They
we
got
need some vets.
Experience.
They
yeah.
need some vets.
They need to get some experience in there. So, NBA draft, we'll see. I feel like Phoenix is in a great position. It's rare to say that. This is the first time they ever had the number one pick ever in franchise history. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, no, you're right.
So make you know they got to make that matter. I feel sorry for Atlanta. I feel sorry for Memphis. I feel sorry for Chicago. Kinda, but now that I kind of look at it, I feel like the Bulls can kind of win at 7 still.
Yeah, because the Bulls can really just pick whoever just falls to them, though.
Yeah, somebody going to fall in their lap. Like, somebody in 7 in this draft, somebody's going to fall in your lap. Like, Colin Sexton, like, this draft is legitimately 12 people deep. And that's a great place to be in. Like, I've been looking forward to this draft. I think, like,
this is just as deep as last year's draft.
Yeah, like, these 2 years' drafts is, like, crazy deep. And then, like, this is the last year for, like, the draft format this way, too. So, like, we're going to see.
What's changing?
They're changing something about how the weighted, how much is weighted on how many losses you got. Like, it's almost going like hockey, where it's almost that pure, hey, you in the lotto, everybody got their opportunity.
Oh, you're saying that a team that won it all can end up with the first pick?
No. It's still teams that missed the playoffs.
Oh, but it's not going
to be... It's not weighted as heavily on record.
Oh, it's just everybody just gets one ticket, raffle ticket, basically.
I think so. I believe so. I believe that because Adam Silver was talking about it during the 45-minute to hour NBA draft lotto preview program.
So, oh, it was another topic I wanted to add on, man. We can just transition into
the NBA.
Yeah. Gambling is now federally straight.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting about how that worked out. Because for
NBA
me,
has been wanting that too.
Oh,
Adam Silver's been pushing for that.
Oh, Katz is about to get money because the league is about to tax that income now too.
Dude, New Jersey, it's like 5 states that was like basically like already like just opening up the fuck. They basically for the start next week type shit. Like we already got all the paperwork sitting here.
Yeah,
we ready to go.
Cats is ready. Like, FanDuel sends an email out. We've already got a bunch of ideas rolled out and ready to go. I was like,
damn. It was like it happened, and it was like, send.
Oh, it came out like 2 hours after the Supreme Court thing.
So they had already had it pre-made. That was a pre-made email.
They were ready to rock. They were like, hey, we've been working on this for months. Like, I was like, yeah, it's dope, man. I love to gamble. I'm a gambling cat. I gamble NFL season more than any other season. But,
is there a reason why you...
Easy for me to follow it. It's one day. It's right in front of me. I can just watch it right there. It doesn't take forever for me to follow it. I don't have to break habit. I get up Sunday morning, place my bets, and I can go. Now, the interesting thing about this is going to be how much more this corrupts college sports.
No. You're not supposed to be able to bet on college sports, I don't think.
Cats are going to still be throwing that money out there. I mean, cats are going to be betting on everything from...
But that's only pro sports you're going to be able to bet on in these.
Well, if that's the truth, if that's the case, then cool. Cool.
But that may not be true, though. Christy was a little bit too happy. It may be colleges, too. Because Christy won all them chips, literally. All the chips. The guacamole. He won everything.
All right, so here's the thing. Before we move on to the emails. Under the revamped NBA draft lottery format, it will ensure that the team with the worst record will receive no worse than the fifth pick. In the current lottery system, the team with the worst pick receives no... The team with the worst record picks no lower than fourth.
Oh, shit. So they slide back one.
Which is going to blow stuff up, though. Because that's going to let them teams like the eighth pick slide into like them four and that four and that five range and stuff like that.
So basically, they trying to make sure Philly don't happen again.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, fuck it. We're going to just get this substitute teacher in here as a coach.
They're saying the current structure right now, the top seed has a 25% chance of winning. The second seed has a 19 and the third has a 15. And it'll be reduced gradually for the first one. The difference between the lottery between the first three seeds is 14%, and then it'll be 12.5% for the fourth seed and 1.5% for the five. So, like, it's about to get business. Business about to pick up. Cats gonna have to play. So if you're gonna tank, this is the year, because you're gonna have to play next year. It ain't gonna matter. Might as well win.
Do you think that, have you ever heard the idea that they wanted to have to maybe keep some more revenue is by taking those 16 teams and putting them in a bracket? And then the winner of that gets the number one pick.
Like putting them in there to play against each other?
One game elimination.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
You know, one game elimination. If you're the...
Well, the Nuggets would be like getting the number one pick.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you try to stay around the middle range where you don't necessarily...
How do you do that, though? How do you do that, though, with teams that have trades and then they're not playing? Like a team that's giving up the pick ain't going to play to give the pick to another team. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't see the Nets playing for the...
That's the...
You wouldn't see the Nets out there balling on behalf of the Cavs pick. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you could see them out there straight sucking.
I mean, that, also, you're not going to throw the Cavs in there and be like, hey, y'all got to play this tournament before you play the playoffs.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
what if you could put your G League team out there?
No. The Suns would run the G League champions.
I know.
Like, Devin Booker would give them 70.
But it would be a great movie, though.
Yeah, it'd be more like basketball though, as opposed to Rocky. Like, let's just keep it 100% G.
Basketball.
Yeah, it would be more like basketball or like Love Me Sexy, Jackie Moon than Hoosiers. You know.
Oh man,
what are people saying this week?
All right, man. This first email is from Andrew Mann. He says this week. I wanted to give you all the ultimate props. This last episode may be ranking in one of my favorite episodes you all have done. You all completed the fuckery gauntlet. I didn't know it was possible. And now half the black woman and a white woman. Shout out to y'all. But I think the most messed up part and actually most interesting was the MAFA. The Make America Fuck Again.
Oh, man. How's the campaign going?
Oh, man. I've been getting a lot of text messages about this. Okay. This has been a movement.
Okay.
So, but he goes... But yo, this incel shit is really for real? Now, I seriously had to Google this. I thought you all were making it up, trying to be funny. And even thought that Daryl made up a whole Reddit page. But then I realized...
He would do that. He would make up a Reddit page to prove a point. Don't put it beyond him.
But no, I actually saw the same Reddit that Daryl read on the show.
I bet you was looking like that Weebay meme, too. When you just look at it and you're in that shot.
And you're like... What? Like, hey, do you remember what scene that was from?
Yeah. I remember.
That's when he's finding out some shit like, oh,
I remember it exactly. Shit. He was standing out in the middle of the courtyard. Yeah.
Love the show. You guys keep doing what you do, but y'all ain't shit for this last one. Y'all could have got shut down if you all were on terrestrial radio.
You see what I was saying?
Yeah, you said that.
You see what I was saying?
Yeah. Hold on, we got one from our on our Twitter page too. I mean, our Twitter page too. I'm pulling that up. That was pretty funny as well. Did you see the picture that one of our listeners put up on the thread I tagged you in?
I might have missed it. I don't get my thread. I don't always check my tags as soon as
I. Yeah, it was like a. It was. It's on the post for that show. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. It was. Yeah, because people were tripping off the Quan Mills Cinematic Universe too, man.
Quan Mills.
The Quan Mills.
A national treasure, he is. The hood Tyler Perry.
Yo, he's a mess. Yeah, it was actually for the last show. It was the one with Bill Cosby. They got a 10-hour Jordan documentary. My dad has texted me.
Yeah, they're finally doing the Essential Jordan documentary next year.
Yeah, they going to get access?
Yeah, Mike's all the way in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is not going to be a real good one then.
No, Mike's all the way in. He says
he's no, that's what I'm saying, though. I need it to be like an expose. Is he going to talk about all these side kids he done had and shit? No, he's not going to do that. No. Exactly.
Right? We don't need... Mike's career content fill up 10 hours.
Not if you ain't going to talk about these side chicks.
You want the dirt.
No, I'm just saying. I want him, all them white women that he got in that closet, I want them to fall on out. I want them to fall on out. Next up, this one is from Mike T. He says, have you all thought about taking this affinity guideline and then spreading it out and extrapolating it out to a lot of different levels? Have you all thought who Red Skull could be? The children of Thanos? Just wanted to put some thoughts through. Hilarious that you all put together this gauntlet.
The Red Skull, like, we talking about the Red Skull when he was alive or the one that's up in the mountains?
I think it's the one in the mountains.
Who's like the soothsayer? That's a Marv Rashad, ain't it?
That's what I'm thinking, man. I mean, he did have two of them in his wedding, man.
Yeah, that's a Marv Rashad. Well, it's A.C. Collins up there in the hills.
The A.C., we got to find a picture. If we can find a picture with A.C. and Bill, even if they're just at a party and the turn around took a picture... He's Red Skull. All we need is one picture of A.C. Collins with Bill Cosby.
Yeah, that's
or true. Of any of the people from the gauntlet, actually.
Yeah.
I'll take a Clarence Thomas. I'll take an Omarosa. Yeah. I'll take an R. Kelly. I'll take a Kanye West. Any of those.
So we need to think about the children of Thanos. Like, so they're going to be O.J.
So is Al Collins one of the two?
They're going to be O.J.'s minions?
Yeah, that's got to be Al Collins then, right?
So then, I mean, that's...
Collins is one of the children of
Thanos. Robert Kardashian.
Ooh. Yeah.
A.C. Collins, Robert Kardashian.
And Kato Caitlin.
Kato Caitlin and Kris Jenner.
Sounds like a pretty good one there. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's it.
That sounds pretty good.
That's it.
Or Shapiro. Or do we swap one of them off for Shapiro? Shapiro was kind of an opportunist, though.
Marsha Clark might need to be one of them because she ruined that case. She might have been an inside operator. Marsha Clark's in there instead of Kris Jenner.
Marsha Clark.
Marsha Clark, A.C. Collins, Kato Caitlin, and Robert Kardashian. Them the children of Thanos.
The children of Thanos. Oh, man. The children of Thanos. Oh, man.
Juice Thanos,
man. All right, man. Let's go ahead and jump into our topics, man. So, this 35,000 text messages. Do we want to go there first?
No. First, we was gonna touch on. No, we can do. We'll do black in the workplace later. We'll do black in the workplace later. That feels like a main course type of thing. Yeah, let's do this. I gotta pull the story up though. 65,000 text messages.
65,000. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't underscore.
So she went on one date with him, right?
I gotta pull the story up. I gotta pull the story up real quick because this just blew my mind. Like this was like a midday thing. People doing math and like trying.
Yeah,
to
I was sending. We were sending texts back. Like, hold on, I think there's 500 text messages.
I haven't had to do ratchet math like this since Will Chamberlain.
And that's considered a minute. That was a text a minute. What average 500 a day? That's a text a minute.
Like. All right, so here's the thing. In case y'all haven't heard about this story, the headline is, and this is on CNN. This is legit. You can find this. You can just literally just put 65,000 text messages into Google. This happened. So this the headline reads, she went on one bad date and then bombarded him with 65,000 text messages, police say. A Phoenix area man went on a date, one date, with a woman he met online. There's point number one. The meeting likely didn't go well, and there not only wasn't there going to be a repeat, he blocked her from on the dating app, and that was last year. Well, soon afterwards, things went wrong, very wrong. Let's stop for a second here before we move on here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to point out the problems with this as we go along, if you don't mind.
What city is this in?
This is in Phoenix. Okay. Home of the conquering DeAndre
Ayton. Ayton. I was like, yes. Ayton will be there momentarily.
Yes. This goes back to my continuing issues with these online dating apps. I've never used them, and I don't trust them. I think you don't have anything but a whole lot of situations like this waiting to happen on there. Yeah. And I don't care how many commercials eHarmony puts out about these people finding they
true show love. The other 90% of the people that don't find no love and go through people, drama?
I'd like to hear the number of restraining orders that have come from eHarmony too.
And with Match.
Mm-hmm. Match.com, any of that.
Bumble.
Christian Meat.
We was trying to put
Christian
Teddy
Mingle.
On. Christian Mingle. We was trying to put Teddy on there at one point before he got married.
Yeah.
We was going to put him in front of like a manger with his hands folded.
Teddy's
like
too good for that site.
You say he's too good for that site?
Teddy's too good of a person.
For Christian Mingle.
He needs to be on perfectpeoplemingle.com. Number one, biggest problem right there is dating site. That bothers me. And now, here's happening next. Police say that over the next 17 months, the woman sent the man text messages, about 65,000 of them, including 501 day. In court documents, prosecutors laid out how threatening of a tone some of them were. One said, "Don't you ever try to leave me. I'll kill you. I don't want to be a murderer." In another, she said that she would kill him if he left her and would wear his body parts and bathe in his blood.
Oh, shit.
And that's just half of it. All right, I'm going to leave this article right here. Mm-hmm. Let's get into this.
That's after one day, right?
One day?
You think he hit?
Great, great. I was hoping he was going to do it. And then blocked her.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not saying that these tactics have been deployed.
I'm not categorically denying or.
Let me ask you this. How would the MAFA platform tackle this subject if it came forward?
That's a good question. He would actually give her his voucher. But she can go get somebody else to stalk. He would transfer. It's like you transfer food stamps and like, you know, somebody was back in the day, you had your food stamps and like you sell your food stamps. He'd just give her his voucher for the quarter.
Oh, wow.
You're like, you know what? How about I just give you a voucher if you
cook? See, this feels like a Black Mirror episode.
It does. Like when technology goes wrong, like with some dating app type shit.
Yeah, like they've done dating app.
Did they show what she looks like in the picture?
Yeah, I don't think you want it, though.
So what was he? Yeah, she looked like she would do that to
me. She looked like Kathy Bates off of...
That's what I'm saying. She looked like she would do that to me.
This goes on to also say that there's some uninvited visits that came too. Now everybody knows that in the catalog of player moves, uninvited visits are always or higher.
That means
on the
he
list
hit,
things
man.
Ain't lie.
I she was by the crib. Hey, she came by the crib. She knew what a crib was.
Hey, I absolutely think he hit. And not only did he he took her to the back cave to hit.
Yeah, to his crib. Yep. And he probably wore her shit out then too.
Never to move, and she probably hadn't gotten touched in a while.
Yep. And he wore it out.
Yep.
He probably gave her like the 2-3 dicking session, like we wake up, I mean, we have sex drunk or whatever, kicking it after that night. We wake up in the middle of the night and have sex. Then I cook you breakfast and hit again.
You think he cooked up breakfast?
I can see it, man.
Not even Postmates?
No, not even Postmates. When he got up in his drawers.
When you get up and cook that breakfast, like when you get up and cook that breakfast,
yeah.
You send
because they can smell it while it's
you sending the energy into the universe that says you're here for good.
She thought she was supposed to come over the next day.
It'd take me years to cook some breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I'm standing in that kitchen in my drawers with them pans out.
Yeah.
Dog, that's a different level move.
And you barefoot too, probably, in the kitchen.
Or you got your Nike socks on. Or your playoff socks.
Or the playoff socks,
Your black socks with the logo on them.
You goddamn right. Pull it all the way up too.
Oh, man. Looking like Elliot Perry.
He had to hit, man.
He definitely hit. I mean, even the craziest of the crazies don't go this far off the levels.
Just off of one date, just because, no, he hit, and he probably blew her back out. Off for whatever level that is for her, because all that shit's relative. So, for her, or like you said, she may not have had that in a long time, and he probably even gave her some nice service. He may even gave her a serviceable dick, but considering she may not have had no dick in a long time.
Even that serviceable go further.
Yeah, because she ain't had none. And I'm telling you, he gave her the 3 dick down and food. He gave her the dick down at like 1 in the morning, got back up around 3 or 4, dicked her down again around 7, 8 in the morning, and cooked breakfast. And said, you know what, I'm going to go, you know what, I got to get, and then he did the old school player move, like, man, I got to get out, I got to go pick up my cousin from the airport.
All right, man, so here's the thing, are we saying that this is a warranted return?
That she's tripping with it?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
So, but is it an understandable? Like,
it's understandable that she's upset. Yeah.
65K?
No.
What's the text message line? Two. All right, this is enough.
Two of them. Two.
Okay.
After, and especially after you already know, and if I looked inside, you blocked me, I know what the deal is. Okay, well, shit, you ain't fucking with me. Or what if she had trash coochie from the other side? From him. Maybe he really did like her. And it was, like, horrible.
Ooh, but what if he didn't like her, but they got drunk, and then they went back to the scene?
He just got it in just because he was like, this, we here now.
And he hit it. He said, I went on this dinner and spent that time.
And he looked at her that next morning after the when he went to go make the breakfast.
But, man, let's say he didn't do breakfast or anything. Let's say that it was a duck and dive. And say he hit it once. But he hit that right spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a danger.
And then did the I got to pick up my cousin from the airport and got her to kind of leave. I hit you up late and everything. No, you have a great time. No, I did. Yeah. I'm going to Singapore coming up for like 3 weeks.
The Knicks are thinking about drafting me, so I got to go to Singapore for a little while and ball
for training camp.
Yeah, I got to go ball and get a little grainy footage made of me because the Knicks pick a ninth.
Oh man, that's real.
Hey, I guess the moral of this story is, hey man, be careful who you. What? No, they go
to the stalking. Then she. There's more after that. Then she starts stalking him. His mother shit.
Well, yeah, I mean it kept on going. I mean,
because how long did it go for?
This went on. They said it went on for 17 months. And so, like it got so severe that the police, who usually don't step in on things like this, said, "All right, she threatening him. Now she got to be in the game." They
so did it start? Did it start from threats? As threats, or did it escalate up to this point because he didn't respond?
Listen, man, I'm going to leave it right here, and this is going to let you know when we need to turn the corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
She called the victim her soulmate after that one date and told reporters that he was her healing angel.
He digged her down.
He threw her.
He digged her down.
He threw her the Jay Slay. He threw her the straight. He threw her the straight
Slayer, boy.
He threw her the straight leg.
Yeah. He digged her down. Talking about her soulmate?
Soulmate.
He digged her down.
That means that he's dead and he probably was strapped less.
Yeah.
He gave her the A1 premium. Yeah. Listen, dog, you got to be careful giving the A1 premium. You
can't do it all the time,
at
man.
Any point. Like, A1 premium, you got to, that's got to be saved for, like, high points in the year. Like, don't you know how when you go to work and they got the mandatory holiday off days and you know them your high points of the year?
Mm-hmm.
You look at it like, oh, Memorial Day coming up. That's what's up. Or like, oh, man, 4th of July coming up. That's what's up. You know, Thanksgiving. Yeah, that day after Thanksgiving, which is the best unofficial holiday on earth.
I think it's the best day of holiday.
Thanksgiving is easily the best holiday. We can do a holiday power ranking at some point. We got a holiday coming up in a couple weeks. I'm all the way down doing a holiday power ranking. But you got to throw out that premium only on those dates, man.
You can't be this on the first one. I mean, I know the inclination is to give all the great dick up front so that they'll want to be down. But it can go into a situation like this, too.
I don't feel the pressure to give it up front anymore.
Nah.
But that's I feel the pressure to show.
How old was she?
31.
See, this is around that time when you're learning, though.
I feel that. I only feel pressure to show the potential. It's like when you do like a 360 in the layup line and you be like, damn, he can rise.
But he ain't dunking.
But then in the rest of the game, yeah. You ain't really dunk it. You just up there like super high, like, yo, his elbow's over the rim. But
it's and just dropping him in.
Yeah. It's like when you drop back in the pocket and throw the ball like 60 yards, but it don't go to anybody. It's just like an incomplete pass. But it's like, yo, he got that hose. That's all I'm really here for. I'm just here to show I got that hose. Other than that, holidays. It's 5 times a year, man. 6 times a year, man.
You get great dick 6 times a year. Everything else is serviceable.
Maybe. Not serviceable. Serviceable is that 20 minutes full process. Like when you go to the car wash. Like, all right, so let's look at this. Let's look at the premium like this layer.
The premium package.
Like when you go to the car wash.
With like the different levels.
Yeah, and it's got the five different selections where it's like the tri-color foam and the hot brush.
The undercarriage wash.
Yeah, I'm only washing undercarriages every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? The Armorall triple sheen. And you'd be like, what does all this mean?
But and you see the pink foam come out. You're like, God damn, this pink foam is going to be on my
car. I'm going to put all this pink foam on my car and it's going to rain tomorrow.
It's so true.
Like, come on, man. Like, you ain't got to buy the $18 package every time. Sometimes get that $7 special.
And keep it moving.
Or get that $3 special at some of them joints where you just put a little water on there, put some dude run out with a bar of soap. And then you gotta turn your wipers on to dry it off. Sometimes you just gotta get that $3 special. Now
or the free little joint that from the gas station.
Now it needs
when you get gas already, you're like, do you want to upgrade for $2 for the gas? You're like,
sure.
Fuck it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. The supersize.
Yeah.
The supersize. Let me get that out. Yeah. But other than that, come on, man. We all know this. These are OG moves. This is like how you gotta maintain.
Same thing for women.
This is how you gotta maintain your vitality in the game. You come out all hot early and you end up like Derrick Rose. You done blown your legs out by the time your career is supposed to just be hitting its stride.
Yep.
Don't be Derrick Rose.
Don't be Derrick Rose.
And don't be giving out this Michael Jordan 1992 performance to this chick that you met on a dating app either.
Yeah, man. And then you know she looks like Kathy Bates.
Looking purely like Kathy Bates. Looking like Kathy Bates side piece.
Damn. Yeah, we can't do that.
What's up with this Smallville sex ring, man?
Oh, man.
Moving right along.
So, the woman of Smallville, man, she finna pull up her situation. She basically, long to short, before I get to it, she was one of the, like supporting actresses on there. She played, I didn't watch Smallville that much, but she was... She was just a support actress, like I think one of Lois Lane's friends.
Okay.
But she was on there for, seven, eight seasons. So she was on there. It wasn't just like she was popping in some guest star or some shit. Allison Mack. Her and her boyfriend were charged with a sex trafficking ring. Basically, they held recruits come to a membership group that said that they was an organization for higher learning spiritual women. It was called Nexum. The organization was near Albany, New York, and was led by Keith Rainier, her husband, her boyfriend, who was 57. She was 35. And it was arrested in March by federal officials in Mexico. So they got from Albany, New York, down to Mexico with all these women. And taking them down to El Chapo.
Like, this is like Queen of the South.
Yeah.
They literally got the Underground Railroad popping in the worst way possible.
And they had to call him Vanguard. The guy that ran it, his name was Vanguard. They couldn't call him by his name.
Isn't that one of Iron Man's?
I think it may be.
Like the Vanguard 6 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
The Vanguard 6. That's the Sinister 6. But
the Vanguard Mach 8
or
something?
Yeah,
like
I think Vanguard is something. It's something like that. But they had a secret society within Nixon called Dulce, which derived from a Latin phrase that loosely translated Lord, Master, or Obedient Female Companions. So basically, they was taking them down there, tricking them off.
So was she involved in this while she was on the show?
No, this year.
Oh, so she just got involved in this.
Well, they arrested this year. They don't know how long they've been doing this shit.
Is this a case for Superman?
The slaves were often required to perform acts of care and pay tribute to their masters, including doing work and other tasks which they were not compensating, according to the letter. Damn, they sound like pledging. They also participated in readiness drills, which required them to respond to their masters any time, day or night, causing DOS slaves to severely... this do sound like a prayer process, but without the sex ring shit.
Well, except for that AKA situation.
Well, you know what? It does sound like a pledge process.
Sounds like what
it
is.
Fort Valley
now.
State.
Yeah.
At Fort Valley State, it sounds like...
Queen of the Valley.
Queen of the Valley, that's right. Mm-hmm. She was Queen of the Valley. It says, yeah, so she was... This is ridiculous. This is... It's like... Yo... They was down there digging them down too. Like they have sex with the Vanguard and his wife or his girlfriend, which was her.
The Vanguard.
The Vanguard. That was his name, not his real government.
The Vanguard.
The Vanguard.
Wow.
The Vanguard. Ain't that some shit?
You gotta be a cold brother to tell people to call you something like that.
Man, you telling me?
That's like the maestro.
Maestro.
Please call me Maestro.
That's what everyone calls me. Like, no, what's your real name? Maestro.
Yeah.
Then you find out his real name is Dave Stewart.
Yeah. It's like Dave Stewart, Lil Dave.
Oh, man. So let's go up next, man. What we got our last one before we go into our main topic. I guess we can combine the Yale situation.
We got a double main event tonight. This is yours, though.
The Yale situation was crazy because, so basically, we talk about how scary white people are in general. And particularly, it's interesting dissecting this even more. It's really male white women. Because there is a more of a fear of male white women than being in fear. Mm. This is how motherfuckers get shot. This is how people get beat up by the cops. Because they feel that anything is scary to them, they got to save these white women. Mm. And they end up internalizing, like, anything can happen to me. I can have the police as my personal watchdogs for any small indiscretion I feel against me. Like, if you go back, do you remember, was it last year? Where the... when them black kids body slammed that white woman into the pool. You know what I'm saying? And she was coming by saying that you guys can't have a pool party even though they had rented out. They was being some niggas, no doubt. But they did have it rented out in the pool house, rented out. But she was coming to be nosy and shit. And then that one dude snuck up behind her and that chick, like in the chicken coop, and motherfucking gave her that DDT into the pool.
That was back when the Randy Orton RKO.
It was damn near like an RKO, wasn't it?
That RKO out of nowhere.
Look out, look out, look out. He was sitting there leaning down just like ready to hit the ground. Like, he was creeping up on her too, and he was laughing and giggling and shit. And then the black people and shit, they kept talking to her, engaging at her, yes. But he could set up his RKO. Like, keep this going. Keep people going. He was like, no, ma'am, we gonna be leaving soon.
We gonna be chilling, don't worry about it. Look out. We gotta cut that in there so people can hear the RKO announcement. Just in case you forgot about that.
So the situation at Yale. So basically, the woman is a woman that was a grad student. She's getting her PhD. She's a black student, African student. She's getting her PhD at Yale, and there's another woman that's getting her PhD there. And it's basically like campus, like apartment housing for like graduate students. She fell asleep in the commons. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, she knew that the girl lived there, but she called the police on her because she said that you're not supposed to sleep in the commons.
Oh, thank you, Justice Patrol.
And keep in mind that week before, she called the police on her because somebody was visiting her and she didn't know who it was in the dorm, even though he was like, yeah, I'm going to see Chris. Or I'm not, whoever, whatever her name is, you know, Pat, Patricia or something. And then the police came and was like, she had to go through a whole bunch of shit because her name was an African name and then they couldn't spell it right in the system, look up her shit from the Yale police, see if she was really a student. And the thing is, like I said, the girl knew that she was a student.
See, okay, here's the biggest thing about this. Anybody that spent any measure of time on a college campus realizes that you will see people sleeping all over the damn place. It looks like a lock-in.
Yeah, it does.
It looks
if it's a small cushion available there.
Yeah, if there's space to sleep, somebody's going to sleep there in college because college sucks and it wears your ass out. Mm-hmm. First of all, college is amazing. But college sucks, too. Mm-hmm. It will wear your ass out.
Yeah, it does.
And that's all it is to it. There is no, at least for me, there was no driving 35 in the regular speed lane. It was either 100 miles an hour
or five.
Or none. Yeah. Or I blew a tire out.
Yeah. And you're just on the sidelines waiting for the AAA.
And as soon as he put that new wheel on, I'm blowing out with that donut, too. Like, we're going to go out here and live.
Yeah, that's... And then she was a PhD student, so it's like, yo, like, but the main event, though, of this white woman being scared is Oakland.
Let's get to it. Everybody knows about this.
It's got to be, what is the most dragging, is this the most dragging meme since Pacquiao, mentioning Pacquiao?
Well, if we're going to leave the Jordan crying face out of stuff.
Well, yeah, because that's become a part of, the lexicon.
Yeah.
Like, that's a part of, like,
that's
the game.
That's
a part of,
like... that's become, like, the back that ass up of memes. Like, if there was, like, a Now album for memes that came out, Jordan crying faces on there. Like,
that Manny Pacquiao be on there.
Like, with that little girl with the face, the little blind little girl with the teeth.
Yep.
And Manny Pacquiao and the the troll face dude.
Troll face dude.
Like all of that. That's like the meme Hall of Fame. But this, I had to look at the, I watched the whole video.
I watched it too.
I watched the whole thing. I was watching that thing like a TV show. Like I was looking at that like, ooh, I can't wait for her to get it. I can't wait for her to get it.
And she was like, yeah, you can't barbecue out here. And they were like, dude, I got a permit.
She's like, no, this isn't like, the barbecue zone.
Like you got, like, but then remember you saw she changed it. No, it's charcoal barbecue. You can't do this out here. And they were like,
first of all, that in that moment right there is when I knew this was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care.
Because at first it was barbecue.
Say. I don't care what nobody say. Brothers is barbecuing with charcoal.
And first of all, number one, who's rolling out a gas grill to a regular park?
You know how stupid you look pushing a gas grill? First of all,
you gotta bring the propane.
If two brothers is pushing a gas grill through a park, they're getting arrested.
Because they think they stole it.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
I've never seen a propane tank besides someone's home for a barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it can't be a non-charcoal zone.
It can't be. It literally cannot be. Yeah. Like, literally, parks in St. Louis, at least, put them charcoal pits out there if you want
to
use
it. For you to get it in.
Yeah. Like, you're encouraged to use it. Now, I know that most of those pits were built before we were so eco-friendly and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, the parks where I grew up at, them charcoal pits are still there.
They was probably built before we were
born. Now, you don't need to be using them, but they still there.
I would advise you to bring your own pit.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Forest Park. They be replacing them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they rotate them out.
Oh, good for them.
I mean, they got a budget.
Yeah, well.
You know, they yeah. like the second or third best park in the
now,
country.
Now, Fairgrounds, they not rotate nothing out, though.
Well, O'Fallon, they just rotated there because shout out to Chris Carter, your friend brother. He got them to rehab all of O'Fallon when he was in the alderman over there.
That sounds just like something a Noop would do is renovate the barbecue pits.
And it was, no, they made a whole, like, new,
No,
like,
I'm all about it. I'm just saying.
But it's like the fact that he was.
I'm just saying. I'm
like
just saying.
He did some work over there.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's something that I usually would peg a Q to do that.
That's true. Cause
all new barbecue pits.
Now.
Could you imagine?
We need to get.
A Q on the show?
No.
Oh.
But we can get one.
Okay. That's I'm about problem. To say.
No. An all frat sorority episode where we do a who brings what to barbecue for sororities and frats.
I've been to that barbecue 10,000 times.
The Q is always on the grill, right? If you have an NPHC situation.
Not always, no.
I'm saying in this world.
Like in a...
This fake world that we
typical create. World? Probably.
Yeah, I'm saying if you said like the job of the Q's of the
let's think about it. Let's think about that for a little while. But in the meantime, this woman's saga, as she was going through this whole ordeal.
And it was a white woman that came, ran up on her, was the one recording.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at it, and like she was running down, jogging down the thing. Who was she on the phone with that long?
She's trying to call the police.
First of all, if I call the police right now, they're going to be on the phone in 15 seconds. She was on the phone for 23 minutes.
Yeah, because you know what happened was, I'm thinking, is that the emergency dispatcher was like, so what's your emergency? I heard barbecuing at the park and they posted hold, please. Like, motherfuckers, we're gonna take a couple of the calls.
This is Oakland. People are dying, yo.
Right, but I'm saying, but that's why they put her ass on
hold. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the people, them dispatchers was like, are you kidding me?
And then they probably finally got there, was like, fuck it. Send out somebody there. She's been sitting the whole 15 minutes. Fuck it. Send somebody out there. It's some Ray getting off his lunch, right? Like,
oh, yeah, and then if you fast forward it, like, first of all, here's the thing I appreciate. The persistence of that white woman that was recording that video was incredible.
White allies, man.
Like, that was the most white ally moment of all time. Because she followed, like, probably since Matthew McConaughey in that movie where they was freeing all them slaves.
Talking about Free State Jones.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Free State
she
Jones.
She followed her down the street and her rat. If she would have been black. But here's the thing. If you look at that scenario, you see how she tried to flip the story when them cops got there. They was pushing me and she was like, when did that happen?
No, they remember they were like, no, you were real aggressive. Remember, they said that she was real aggressive with black people until the white woman showed up.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, oh, she was talking real cash shit until you showed up with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo.
Mm-hmm.
But the memes of this white woman.
Yeah, this is the most.
No. I found she's a professor. She scrapped all her stuff. She scrapped her LinkedIn profile even, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I saw, somebody had put her name out there. And then I Googled it. I was like, man, I want to see if she's really a professor. That shit got scraped down. It shows going to her LinkedIn profile, but if you click on it, you can't get her profile's been deleted.
Yeah, LinkedIn was just like, hey, listen, we're going to save you the trouble. Just like when them people get put on them, get put on like them Instagram posts when they said something crazy, and then you try to go to the account to see what's there, and it's gone.
It's disabled.
They're like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, we had to get it on top of this. But like, they got her in front of every black thing, dog. I heard disturbing on the phone. And she crying and shit all in the video, talking about they were harassing me. And then the cop is like, man, are you...
That cop was like you tell the way he answered.
He actually came to just tell her to get the fuck away. If you notice, that's why I think that they put her on hold. And they told that cop, like, man, just go over there and tell her to get the fuck away from now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he came over and was like, ma'am, you're going to have to leave.
Like, just please leave her alone. She's clearly a nut.
No, and they was like, you need to leave too, ma'am. The one calling, like, they ain't doing shit wrong.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then you see they did the electric slide out there, like, the next day, like, they had another cookout.
Uh-huh.
And then it was doing the Cupid Shuffle or electric slide or something.
Yeah, I saw.
And I was like, oh, this is black people's shit. Yeah, I forgot we in Oakland. This white woman forgot she was in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland is top four blackest cities in the country.
God bless them.
What are the top four blackest cities you would think if people said
black? If I just had to guess?
Five blackest cities offhand.
Oakland, Detroit.
Philly.
Really? There's so many people in Philly. I just would
Philly's
think that
black as shit.
Yeah, I know.
The Philly beard alone.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. When you get out in South Philly, it's like, yeah. I don't know. Hold up. Give me a second here. Oakland, Detroit. Jackson, Mississippi. What's the biggest
Atlanta?
City? What's the biggest city in Alabama?
Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia.
What about D.C.?
A lot Chocolate of people. D.C.'s not a big enough city, though. Like, the D.C. itself, if you're talking DMV, that's like a whole thing. But, like, yeah. D.C. itself ain't big enough.
Yeah, those are the black cities.
I think so. I mean, in general, unless you're talking about somewhere like LaGrange, Louisiana or something.
I mean, no,
or
but
like,
that's a small town. But in general, I think when you took me like a black ass city.
South Carolina? Is it like Columbus, South Carolina?
Too big. Too small.
Okay. See, that's what I thought about
Detroit
Atlanta.
Detroit is the blackest city.
That's what I thought about Atlanta, though. Like,
Atlanta's black as hell, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, because you got to remember in the 80s, what
it's a whole bunch of black people in Kansas City, too.
St. Louis, too.
Yeah.
St. Louis is in the top, like, 10, 15 black cities, like, population-wise.
It's got it.
But and when you remember in the movies in the 80s, where was the black person from, the random black friend? He was from Detroit, Philly, New York, L.A., and Chicago. That's the other black-ass city. And Chicago. Those are the cities the black person was from in the movies. Oakland, they ain't even venture there. They ain't even let them. That's how black they were.
What's like the sneaky blackest city, though, where a dude could see a situation like this popping off at?
Like, but Oakland's like that, a progressive hood city. It's weird, though. They're like a special situation. Because, like, their school system is good. Like, they all talk proper. I mean, you got to think about it. Too Short says player. He doesn't say player. He says player.
Yeah.
He pronounces it.
Yeah.
Because all California people fucking pronounce all their words as real words.
Kansas City does, too.
That's because they fucking, all them fucking L.A. people went there and started them gangs doing shit.
Yeah.
What is the sneakiest, blackest city? Ooh, that's a good question. Cleveland, maybe?
Might be. I couldn't verify.
I was thinking of Ohio City, Cleveland or Cincinnati or something.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I would say Cleveland. Cleveland's probably surprisingly black.
Yeah. Maybe Milwaukee or something. Because that's all Chicago people that live Chicago move to Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people in Milwaukee, though. Like, a lot of white
people.
Yeah, because
you got Milwaukee. You have never had a story based in Milwaukee with black people.
Caron Butler's from Milwaukee. And
he's not from Milwaukee. It's Racine.
Oh.
He's not even from Milwaukee. That's like closer to Chicago. That's almost at the border of Illinois.
There's some black-ass parts of Milwaukee.
Oh, North Milwaukee is black as shit.
Yeah. God bless them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Kansas City would be, well, that's not for me, but I think I can see outside people now under thinking that Kansas City's black.
Kansas City's pretty black,
but I can see an outside person now.
What about Little Rock?
That's a sneaky one too. We had banging in Little Rock,
yeah,
to prove that to you, and banging in and return.
I look at this real simple, like
we need to rewatch that
banging in Little Rock
and the return to banging. Return.
I haven't seen.
Banging. I have not seen that. Probably.
I haven't seen banging in Little Rock in 25 years.
I was just saying easy 20 years.
Yeah, 25 years easy. Like,
I wonder how we would look at it now. Would we be like, this ain't shit?
We could do like a rewatchable. We could do a rewatchable.
Yeah, but, like, but we would look at it since we had like first 48. Would we be like, well, let's just this
do
ain't
a,
shit?
Let's just do an episode. I would like people to send us things they'd like us to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we'll watch it and do it like a Mystery Science Theater type of thing. Like, we'll watch it in real time.
And,
be like,
and actually record it while we watch it. That's real shit.
All right, yeah. Maybe we'll do that one day. But so anyway, though, about this meme, back to this meme lady, though. Like, yeah, I don't know. Her contributions to comedy and society is great.
Is she depressed right now, or is she like, does she know that all this is happening? These memes are out there about her?
I don't know. She's got to. Like, you're an internet phenomenon right now.
But I mean,
she's like the new dude that's on the phone in the hotel lobby. The black dude that was on the phone
that was at the Republican like the alt-right meeting or whatever the fuck he was at.
Yeah,
because that was here, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we've never seen that motherfucker. I don't even know where that motherfucker.
He worked at the joint across from Ballpark Village. We saw him in there one night. My boy was taking pictures of him. Yeah,
where's he? Where comes from?
The Hilton.
Oh, he works in the Hilton.
Yeah, front desk down there.
He was at the meeting though, like he was a person.
But we seen him though down there though. Like, dudes, like, getting mad because people were taking pictures of him.
Oh, so it was like a, like, almost like a, it was a, like, it went as y'all took a, it was a couple people taking pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, we was being the most ignorant about it.
Y'all wouldn't even try to be able to slick about it. Y'all was like, no,
we took it out. Like, hey, dog, you him?
You him. Nobody even knows his fucking name.
Nah.
What is his name in your mind? Clarence.
Wilsonton Chesterford the 4th.
Nah, man. His name is like Tyrone or something. Though. No, he's like, not. No, his no, mama is black as hell. And he flipped it up.
He is not. I guarantee you it's
he's
not.
He's Tyrone. He goes by Ty. It's why like, people don't know his real name is Tyrone?
It's like Roy Uthelbert Jenkins
the
4th.
You're missing out. His real name is Tyrone. He goes by Ty. Because he doesn't want black white people to know that he has a real
name.
What
is this lady's name that's on the barbecue?
It's room. Andrea or something. She's got like a regular name.
Like, she's really out there. Like, here's the thing. Here's the benefit for her in this. At least she got that cardio in. Because she was trucking it down that street to get to that convenience store.
Yeah, I'm like,
but how much different would this have turned up if the police pulled up and it was a black person with that camera on it?
Oh, 100% different.
Yeah.
Ma'am,
police would have hopped out the car like Daredevil with that Billy Club. They would have been swatting them down.
Just throwing that shit in and came
back
to them.
Yeah, they'd have been throwing it like Captain America's shield. They'd have smacked off their phone and came back to their hand.
They caught it.
Yeah, it would look like when the Winter Soldier and Captain America was fighting Iron Man at the end of that joint. That other cop pulled up too. It would have looked like the Youngbloods stomp video.
Damn
video. Yeah, it would look like that. Like bone crushing, we was walking on them buildings.
That was a scary video.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, because it was that.
These are the differences between
this
being
is
white.
Why you gotta have a white friend in your crew?
Yeah, gotta have a pass.
Gotta have a white ambassador, man, or emissary.
An emissary.
A white emissary, man. It's pertinent to your survival as a black person. Especially if you survive in different.
You gotta. Ways. Every team needs a Kyle Korver. Every team needs a Kyle Korver.
And Kyle Korver sneakily was on Black Chicks. You know that, right?
Yeah, but regardless,
cats don't even know about.
When you look at your basketball team, you need a Kyle Korver. Just like they got that dude on the Celtics now. They traded in the one white dude that left last year for another white dude. And I ain't talking about your Gordon Haywoods. No, I ain't talking about them type of cats. I'm talking about your Kyle Singlers, your Nick Collisons. You just need somebody there. You know, if you really get lucky and you really get to, and you really get the level up, you get a JJ Redick. That's rare, though. Not every crew has a JJ Redick.
But you're kind of taking a step back when you get to a Miller, right?
Mike Miller?
Yeah.
No, he's top flight. He's not.
No, but no, when they start looking at him like, you maybe actually wanted them, where you got to be transcendent.
Oh,
you see what I'm
like
saying? Kyle Korver be messing with black chicks.
It's a little bit of an upset.
But he don't look like he
yeah,
do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mike Miller looks like he's here to jump down.
Or Jason Williams.
He got that Jeezy look to him.
Because, dude, man, I didn't meet Kyle Korver, but he was at a party I was at when I was an undergrad. And he was on him, like, standing with other basketball players on him, like, what's up? Like,
Yeah.
You do, and he had even longer hair then.
He was averaging 25 a night, so I mean, he could kind of go for what he. When you averaging 25 a night, you get to go for whatever you want, especially if you're in Iowa.
And it was like, no, it was like Omaha, Creighton.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. And then look, and you know, and
hey, that's a black city on the low.
Omaha is very a black
that's
city.
That's a sneaky black ass
city. Very, North Omaha, particularly.
Yes, Omaha, Nebraska is a sneaky black ass city.
And it'll sneak up on you. You got to know where you're staying at, too, because you'll have a decent hotel and you may be in the middle of the hood on accident.
Mm hmm.
Yep. Those are sneaky hotels. Like, yep. You're like, these streets are all clean.
There's a bunch of them in New Orleans, sneaky hotels in the middle of the hood. I stayed in one.
What was the name of
it? I can't remember.
Oh, so it wasn't
a
chain.
I had a good time, though. It was a chain. Yeah, it was a chain, but it was still just in the middle of the hood. Good food around it, though. Got the best gumbo.
Was this the last time you went?
Yeah. Oh. Got the best gumbo I ever got in my life, like right down the street from that joint. It was in like a strip mall, too.
Oh, shit.
I was like, yo. They had like the big thing of crawfish, the big thing of hot shrimp, two big old things of gumbo, and they was making sandwiches in the back. And this is just like when you walk into a convenience store, that's what they got there.
Hold on, so this wasn't a restaurant, it was a part of the store.
Yeah, it was like I could turn
around. It's like how you go get wings at
I could turn around and they had the thing with all the Gatorades and the juices in it and the chips. But then they had cats in the back making gumbo and doing all that. Like, yeah. Like, it was 100%. I've never felt that much love walking in a convenience store in my life. I spent like $35 in the convenience store.
And not on gas.
And they gave you that piece of soft bread with it, too. Like, they wasn't messing around. Like, it was really dope.
Did you have to order at the same place?
Yeah, I mean, like, I could run out everything.
Was it two different stations?
Same thing. I run out everything.
Omaha right sneaky hood, because I was up there one time. It was a barbershop / liquor store / rib shack / gas station.
/ sex ring.
No, it was the middle of the hood.
Exactly.
You go get a haircut, get you a rib plate.
Get you a cell phone.
Cell phone, and get your gas, and your pint. All at the same time. It's in one facility. I was like, it was ingenious. It was one black dude owned all this shit. I'm like, ingenious, man.
Yeah, man. That's what you got to do. Consolidate your business, dog.
And you got to think about it. Anything that black people own, I mean, it's enough. But if you can consolidate all your businesses in one area, you can just make sure that, well, damn, man, I do need a pint. And I do need some gas.
That's that gas station up on Del Mar Kings Highway. They got everything you need up in there.
Del Mar Kings Highway. Oh, it's with that mobile.
Yeah, by the Popeyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody can relate to that, too. Even if you are listening to this right now and you have no clue about where I'm talking about, you have a place that's by Popeyes or like by Rally's or Checkers or something that's like you can get everything you need on Earth right there. You probably can get some hair extensions right around the corner from there.
They be selling hair extensions and shit in there, too. Yep. Like,
everything you need, dog. Get you a hat. You can get you a skull cap.
Some tees.
Yep, you get you a wave cap. You get you a phone case. You can get one of them.
An actual phone?
Yeah, you can get you a full burner phone. It's like one of them wire gas stations. It caters to its clientele, which is mostly drug dealers.
And that's smart.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
It's smart about it, man. All right, our last topic to the night, being black in the white workplace.
So... Earlier today, I got dispatched from a job because of things outside of my control. Basically, you get sold a bill of rights, and then you can tell that you have been working somewhere, and they like, we got to find some reasons to get rid of this cat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, like, cool. I see y'all.
They were like, you was in the bathroom kind of long.
I mean, maybe a little longer than usual, but, you know.
I don't time myself.
I don't usually. I just thought that was a little your life zone, you know. But then you realize is that black people, everything from day one to your last day is different in the workplace. Like, you immediately walk in, and if you went to a PWI, you know this feeling. You walk in there, and immediately you look to see if there's any more of you.
First thing you do.
Throughout there.
First thing you do.
And then
actually, you might even do it during the interview.
Yeah, and then you make that eye contact with them. To see if they return it back and see if they know. You do the slow, the nod, at least the acknowledgement. Like, hey, we're going to get together. We're going to rap.
Or if, like, in my office I'm in now, like, there's another side of the office. I even like to go through there because they have a call center as a part of the gig. And I always go through sometimes. And I just walk through there sometimes and I ain't got to. Just let them know that I'm here and I'm still here, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still see you, too. Like, we all good.
Yeah, so things are different, though, for black people in the workplace. Like, everything. Like, yeah, and this is beyond saying that you got to work twice as hard as them or any of that. Like, yeah, that's everywhere you go. You got to work no matter what. Mm-hmm. But, like, that, it's just different when you're in there and you kind of feel like you could potentially be around like 30 of those white lady on the memes that are like watching everything you do and like everything on top of like the entire way that you live your whole life, all the way down to the end of it when they're like, oh no, we gotta make sure that we change security codes and we gotta change all of these things. First of all, not much offends me. That offends me. The principle of that offends me because that's handing your crime off to my people. Black people don't walk back up in the places and shoot the scene up.
Unless he was dating the other black woman that was at the spot and he wanted to kill her.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Strike that from the tape.
No. That's what the... fuck.
That still is focused on one person.
That's not what I'm saying. It's focused on one
person. Black people don't walk into things indiscriminately and just shoot up tons of people. It just doesn't happen.
They came from one person.
You point out to me the last time that happened and it wasn't on that...
Postal shit.
Right.
But that was a mixture of all kind of people shooting.
Yeah, that was all sorts of craziness going on.
Yeah, and that was in the early 90s.
We're not doing that. This is not our MO. Like, you're probably safer after you get done with the initial potential blow-up firing a black person than a white person.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always kind of expect
this to happen. The only time you know they'll blow up is if you ain't got their money, though.
Yeah.
Like, and you talking about you ain't going to have their money and they know they owe money. That's when they'll blow up at you.
Yeah, and to their credit, they brought that up immediately. It was like, hey, when you need your money, and like, hey, you speaking my language, because I always need to know where my money comes from, no matter what. I don't care what it is or what alley of life we in at all. I need to know where my money coming from. So, I mean, bring that up and you can kind of pacify the situation. But you know what? That type of stuff shows you how easily you can scare the other half not even doing anything. If you just go quiet, like if they wanting you to talk it out, it's like, oh, where's your head? You just be like, man. And then you just sit there and look at them for a second. They get real, real, real worried.
Mm-hmm. And they start calling security.
And be like, oh, he's a little hostile. Like, man, I ain't said nothing. But the fact that you're not saying anything makes me feel like you hostile. Like, that ain't how we roll. If we hostile, we clearing off that desk.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing.
It's going to be some table moving.
In this day and age, I like to think we smarter than to know that if we clear off that desk, they probably going to shoot us in the parking lot. Take your lumps and keep moving on. It's just different being black in the workplace. And I think that the biggest point, and this I know this is about to set you off an edge, so I'm gonna introduce this carefully. The hardest point where it's black to be black in the workplace is on food day.
Oh, you know I hate fucking yo. You know how many times? Only time I'll eat at food day is if we order it out somewhere. I don't do no random people food and shit coming up in that motherfucker, man. I don't do that shit, man. I don't do that shit.
You ever been going to food day at work and you look around and be like, yo, is this like how y'all holidays be?
Yeah, like this is what you put in front of your family?
Like this is how y'all eat?
I don't care. I can't do that shit, B.
Like I can't live this life. This isn't the type of life that was laid out in front of me.
Can't do it, man. I'm not doing it. I don't do buffets. I don't do none of that shit, man. And that, like, and then you gotta play it off and this shit, and you gotta be like, nah, I'm good. Like, man, my wife cooked the big meal. Like,
yeah, shit. I got lunch today. I had to get to.
Why didn't y'all let me know? Then you gotta be like, y'all email me about that? Damn,
this been out there. Yo, them food days scare me, man.
The company I'm in now has been pretty good. They order our food all the time.
Good.
So they aren't. I think there must have been a situation. I've heard there may have been a situation before where some cats got sick and they was like, we just gonna order food out. So you know who to prosecute. if everybody come up with food poisoning, we gonna get Qdoba. You know, hit Qdoba.
Yeah, like we gonna hit Panera. Like they getting everybody else sick right now. So we just gonna go ahead and say it's them. What else? It's when you're black in the workplace, it's just different.
The connecting with other black people, like you said, that you the underground railroad of the black struggle there, where it could be somebody, literally, it could be the janitor, and y'all would be, you like, hey man, I heard them talking this shit though about you and shit. You're like, I was going by the office sweeping,
hey,
and they were talking about you. You're like, damn, they don't know that the tentacles of blackness. That we go from rooter to the tutor.
Yeah, like it's offensive. Like I was in a meeting in this thing. See, like two things happened in this particular place that made me be like, man, y'all really don't know. So we was in there. The first one that happened is they had this presentation, big presentation, like this WebEx or something like that. And they're putting up, you know how people like to put like pictures of like memes and like pictures of people into like their PowerPoints now? And it always is like 103% guaranteed to be corny as hell every time it happens.
I don't even understand why you even do that shit. Like, corny as fuck.
It's ultra corny every time it happens, but this is like how they entertain themselves, I guess. And you look at this and be like, dog, why you, what's this about? Like, you don't have to do this. Just use your words and sit down. They put up a picture of Jordan Peele. And this dude who's doing the presentation says, oh, I think that's Muhammad Ali. I was like,
hold on. What Jordan Peele picture was it?
It was that picture of him sweating on that meme.
Wow.
And he said, oh, I think that's Muhammad Ali, I think. And I was like,
was he trying to be funny or was he serious?
No, he was serious. He was serious because, like, it was no stop for a joke or anything like that. And I look, and it was one of the moments where I'm sitting there and I look at the other black dude in the office and he looks over at me and we just lock eyes like,
you see this shit, man?
You see this? There was another time. There were three strikes of racial issues in this particular office that made me be like...
And those are those covert... Not covert, but...
This is one of them, ain't that a... Ain't
those
ain't,
misdemeanor...
This is one of them old...
This is misdemeanor racism.
This is one of them old, ain't that a bitch type moments? It's the first time... Actually, this first one happened before that Muhammad Ali moment. But they're sitting in there doing a WebEx and they had a black dude on there that was on the WebEx, like, sitting there... You know, talking about stuff. He's kind of like up in leadership or whatever. And then like there's this other black. They like they was big on this whole show your team on these WebEx things, like trying to treat it like it was a family or some type of stuff, which is a big old.
This
bullshit.
Is for these other different
other offices and like across the country. Yeah.
Was it the Atlanta office?
No, I don't know where this one was at.
I think it'd be funny if it was this.
The Atlanta office, they had a bunch of white people in there, which I didn't understand. But
any office that has a bunch of white people in Atlanta, and I never understand it.
Yes,
like that's impossible.
Literally, that's a malpractice suit waiting to happen.
Right that's what I'm saying.
Like, but they sitting in there. There's a black girl behind that had a question. They're like, "Oh, people sending your question." They answered like three different questions in this thing, and then she's like, "Oh, she's like, do you have a question?" He says, "Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, how it is being a minority going up in management in the company and like how that had to impact your style." And black dude was like, "Well," and he was like, "Oh, that's a great question, but maybe we'll do that in like a breakout session. We're running close on time." Once again, the same black dude looked at me like,
"The black dude said that?"
No,
interrupted him.
Yeah, the white lady that was doing it was about to do this, and once again, same black dude in the office turned around and looked at me, and we just looking at each other, and we just locked eyes, and we just like. So I go back and I send an email out like, "Hey, sound like they were going to do a separate like a thing about that where they're going to answer those questions. You think we can set up something here in the office so that we can kind of hear that?" And I never got a response to the email. I'm like, damn, really? And then, what was the last moment in blackness in this particular office that had me be like, "Oh God, what is happening here?" Damn, it was a good one too. I can't remember what it was. I lost my crescendo. Oh no. It was a moment in IMing. So you sending your little messages on IM and all of that, and had to go into a moment where people was talking to each other like we speak to each other, like we speak to ourselves outside of that. And then the IT people flagged it. They was like, "Oh, we don't know what the conversation here is." And we like, we're talking to each other. Like, we speak to each other regularly. We completely understand.
So, wasn't it any cuss words? It was just...
No. It was just like if we texting. I'm like, "Oh, we don't understand what's going on here.
Is this Japanese?"
Seems like inappropriate workplace conversation. Like, we just talking about work. We just not talking about it like we do when we speaking to y'all.
Wow.
Yeah, man. This is being black in the workplace. When you got to kind of, like, hide your blackness. And then when you see some moments where it's, like, jabs against your blackness. And you have to be like, "Hey... Hey, man, it's bad food, bad tactics."
Bad food is...
Bad food, bad tactics. And,
We do have drink cart day, though, like every Friday.
Do y'all?
Yeah, we have a drink cart that comes around with alcohol.
That's hot.
Like in the afternoon, we have a drink cart. And if...
What alcohol is on there?
We got beer, wine, and then some like tequila, like the little tequila mixes...
Oh, so it's like a cheap wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's a cart that rides around though too, though. So you can.
It's not like your wedding.
No. It ain't wild like that. But then like if one of the upper management, if they have a stress day, they can roll the cart out randomly any day. So you can, if somebody else is like, "Oh, it's an extra day," that means somebody else is stressed out. Like they want to roll the cart off everybody.
Stress day.
Yeah. And then some days they just send you home too. Like, man, it's just a day we just gonna everybody get to go home. Like,
oh, the other moment, the other black moment was I got a message from one of my now former coworkers who texted me and said that they always after people leave they change the code, the door code. Like the next morning is different. They said, oh yeah, change the door code. They changed it in the middle of the day. Like I was gonna be a menace to society in that joint.
Let me go get my AK-47.
Let me run home right quick.
Get my strap.
Let me run home right quick. Man, I'm about as peaceful as a brother as you're gonna find at this point, unless you bump into me in the club.
I mean, what is
doing New Edition dances?
Is a lot of the upper management been there a long time?
No, not really. Okay. Somewhat. I mean, but it ain't nothing like that.
So they ain't had no experience of nobody wilding out there.
Basically. I mean, I guess they got like some people that have like said like crazy stuff to people before. But I mean, I just did the old look at them with the cock corner of your mouth. Like,
yeah, like, all right.
Like, all right, bet.
Where my money at?
Plenty of white people leave. And it's just, oh, we'll change it at the end of the day. You'll leave. Oh, we got to change in the middle of the day. We got to get it. People look like, oh, he was mad. It was like.
Oh, they said you was mad?
Yeah. I was like. It's like I've been trying to leave here for about a month and a half. Hey man,
y'all don't even know.
See, but that's the difference. The difference is in the subtleties. Like they treat you different all the time, all the time, and that's where the white boys come from. Even we be throwing that mask on in the workplace with the white boys.
Mm-hmm. I stopped doing that shit though.
Yeah, I'm not big on it either.
Yeah, I stopped cold switching. Some years ago.
I just don't talk like I'm in radio voice mode at this
point.
Yeah,
that's fine. You know,
because I don't think I can turn it all the way off.
We got too much bass in our voice and shit. I ain't gonna fucking not take the bass down in my voice.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't do that. I can change my syntax. I can change the words I use.
Exactly, but I'm not gonna change my bass in it, you know. And of course I'm not gonna bring up certain topics around them but I'm not gonna be like, hey, how you guys doing? This is Daryl Frierson. No, fuck no, man. So I use my fucking regular voice.
Right. Yeah.
Just no code switching, man. No code switching.
No, that's it. I'm not doing it.
Like Mafia 2022, no code switching 2018.
If any platform believes in no code switching, it's Mafia.
Hey, Mafia's going to pick up, man. My little brother said he's going to... I need my little brother to give me a Mafia hat.
Oh, no. Is it going to be like the hat on Atlanta
when he put the words out?
No, I just want it to be. I want it to be like the real thing, like but just an F instead of a G, and just I'm gonna wear it.
Okay.
And see how many people ask me, "What does the F mean?"
We need to start selling Mafia shirts.
We could, cause we get that wouldn't be copyright infringement because we talking about this is a whole different statement.
Yes, completely different thing.
I wanted that design is patented though.
We can just make Mafia shirts.
Yeah.
We got some new merchandise coming out soon, y'all. We got some new merchandise coming out soon, y'all. Any donations that you make goes into the Mafia Fund.
The Mafia Fund, man.
We'll have a link together for where you can order your Mafia shirts soon. your Mafia coffee mugs for work as well. So that when you go in there and you got to be black in the workplace, you can let them know what you stand for.
Well, man, let's talk about the live show, man. Let people know about the live show, man.
Oh, yeah, man. The send up on Shaw, June 2nd. Time is to be announced. I'm going to know the time tomorrow, actually, from when we're on. Yeah,
the later the day, the better. Let them know. I got my daughter's graduation at 1.
Oh.
1 to 2.
So we shouldn't do it at 1. That's what you're
saying. Yeah, three would be preferable.
Do you truly believe you're going to be able to leave after the graduation?
Yeah, everybody knows I'm already leaving to do our show.
Well, look at that. Look at that.
Look at God.
Because
my daughter goes to a hood preschool. We're getting out of there. It's cheap.
Oh.
And it's not hood. It's just, you know. No. They decide at the last minute. It's only 3 kids graduating.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, we're going to have some of our preschoolers graduating. Like, so it's not like a real graduation. She going from preschool to pre-K.
Oh, yeah.
So you've seen why I can just...
I didn't have that. My first graduation was kindergarten graduation.
I don't even know if I graduated kindergarten.
Yeah, we did it. We just all stood on the blocks and put little caps on them. It was for our grandparents and stuff to see stuff. Because they might not be there for the next graduation.
That's some real shit, though. They might not make it to the next one.
Have as many graduations as you can.
Yeah, look. Because you got to wait another 8 years for the next one.
I graduated from kindergarten, 5th grade, middle school, maybe?
Yeah, you got to graduate from middle school, 8th grade.
Yeah, I graduated from middle school, high school, and college. I've had 5 graduations.
Maybe I did. Maybe I had kindergarten graduation. But I know I had 8th grade, high school, college. That's it. I didn't have no middle school.
What was the most popular graduation?
high school. Because my high school graduation, my school just rented out. Well, we had ours at Powell Symphony Hall for our regular thing. They rent tuxedos. Everybody got tuxedos on for
it. Wow.
So everybody's got the same tuxedo on. Shout out my boy Chris Keevan. He listens to the podcast, man. He's one of those Kyle Corvers.
Oh, okay.
He went with a girl to long range. Went to an all black wedding.
Long range shooter with a predetermined target.
And he went to all black wedding. And he sent me a picture of him in our old high school tuxedo outfit. I went back and wore the same exact tuxedo we graduated in. The white jacket with the black slacks.
What, he kept it?
No, he just got the same exact one. He went to the same exact one.
I'm about to say, he's black as hell if he kept a rented high school tuxedo for 20 years.
No, and he's from North County, too.
Yeah.
He's a white guy from North County, too, so you already know how that goes.
Long range shooter with a predetermined target.
Exactly. But then, like, they gave us a thing afterwards, man. They had literally us gambling there, but it was, like, fake money. So we had, like, roulette machines. But then people start taking out real money because they got real late because it was, like, all-night lock-in thing. So Cass was in there really gambling, throwing them dice for real.
Mm-hmm.
Real money was sitting on the table.
Got it cracking,
man. And it was just fun. People was hooping. It was just, and it was like, yo, that was the last time you realized that you was innocent for real. Like, that was the last time. But after that, it was fucking.
I got to say, college graduation was probably my best one. I was in terrible shape for it, but.
You got fucked up?
I had strep throat the week before. Then I rebounded like 3 days before it, and then I just got trashed.
Yeah, I got trashed. I slept through my whole graduation.
Yeah, I think me and my homeboy BG drank like 36 beers, 36 Michelob Goldens.
Damn!
A Magnum size.
Is that the last time you had Michelob Golden too?
No. I actually still like Michelob. It's rare. I don't see it as often. I still like it though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't see it much.
And then we drank a Magnum Grey Goose with like 8 other folks. And what else was it? Yeah, we drank an absurd amount of alcohol.
Because you and BG graduated the same year?
No, he graduated before and after me. Because he graduated.
Oh, from law school?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We didn't graduate at the same time. He was in his first year of law school when I graduated.
Also, he was only campus to be able to get fucked up with you.
Yeah. He was available to live his life. Yeah, yeah. But graduation.
Yeah, my college one was crazy, man. I had to go. I was like, mine was so crazy. It was like, it's some video out there. My little brother was taking the chicks, like taking off their tops and stuff that my little brother had at the time. And I think, was he even in the eighth grade?
He was living up to his potential in advance.
No, he was like a freshman in high school, I believe, maybe. Freshman or something like that? And I was a. Because we're 7 years apart. Yeah, he was a freshman. Yeah, he was 15. He had a little old school camcorder that I bought him. Old school joint.
He 100% Maffa.
Yeah. Oh, he's the first person that texted me about Maffa. When he heard the show. He was like, Maffa, nigga.
Yeah, we got to get these t-shirts going, dog.
Yeah, we got to get
new merchandise
Maffa,
coming soon. But yeah, send up on Shaw June 2nd. Yeah. I guess it's going to be after 2 o'clock. we'll have a time coming up soon. It's going to be a good time. I'm trying to get Jovan in town.
Yeah.
Can I get Jovan to come down for it and, you know what I'm saying, and do it that way? That'd be dope.
Rip City is DJ for us, too.
Yeah, so it's going to be a whole thing, man. We're going to take our time slot and really make it into a big thing, man. So it's going to be a good time. We're going to detail.
More details will be coming
soon. Yeah, we have details for that coming up on the Facebook stream soon about that, both on both of ours and on the Straight Out Locast stream. So it's going to be all over the place. But yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely email us to straightolc@gmail.com. You know, subscribe everywhere that you can.
Subscribe twice.
Yeah.
And people ask me, how can you leave 5 stars for it? You got to go into iTunes. Like, you got to go into the thing, click the link, go into the show page, and you can really get in there.
And we'll read your review. How about that?
Yeah, man. Write the review.
Got to be 5 stars, though.
We'll shout it out.
Don't be no 1 star, though. Like, don't fuck D. I hate that.
And here's the thing about metrics. Only ones and fives matter. Twos, threes, and fours all count as ones. Fives matter. That's it. You like the show even a little bit. Even if we like your fifth favorite podcast. I got like 12 podcasts I listen to, so my fifth one I really dig.
Yeah.
So like if we like your fifth favorite podcast, get that 5 star. Hit it.
Hit it up, man. Appreciate y'all for listening as always. We'll be back next week. Peace.